Amen. You know, in this world that we live in, there are many, many things to beware of. Some of those things are very obvious in our lives, but a lot of them are hidden dangers. I read where CBS News was reporting from the war in Afghanistan back when, and you probably remember the pictures of all the rubble, of all the tanks and the warplanes that were in ruins. But what you couldn't see was the hidden dangers. U.S. engineers found unexploded landmines and bombs literally all over the place over there. And in addition to the mines and the bombs, downed warplanes had to be investigated thoroughly because often they would booby trap the downed warplanes with explosives. One officer said, "The bottom line is this. Our survival depends on God. If He wants us to die, we die." Amen. You know, throughout our lives, there are many hidden dangers, just like bombs waiting to explode. Hidden dangers, just like bombs waiting to devastate people's lives. But thankfully, God warns His people about many hidden dangers. Now, what is a warning? A warning, simply said, is an attempt to prevent another from imminent danger. An attempt to prevent another from encountering harm in some way. It's not just a list of what you can and can't do. That's not what a warning is. Think of some warnings that we have in our lives. For example, what are the warning signs of domestic abuse? What are the warning signs of potential suicide? What are the warning signs of drug or alcohol addiction? But we have other warnings in our lives, too, that are more obvious. For instance, we have speed limit warnings. Somebody say amen. Amen. You bunch of speeders. Amen. We also have tornado warnings, heat index warnings, Surgeon General warnings on cigarettes and chewing tobacco. We have warnings on sweeten low that warn us that saccharin can cause cancer. We have warnings like expiration date warnings, overdue bill warnings. Y'all ever got one of those? We have travel warnings, CDC warnings, Homeland Security warnings, scam warnings, beware of dog warnings, warnings on prescriptions, poison warnings. And we even have warnings on movies and music and video games that are warning us that there may be explicit content in those things. So we're surrounded by it. We live in a world filled with danger. So listen to me. We need warnings. We need them. And that's why God offers warnings that are intended to provide me and you with the absolute highest quality of life and protection. Now, the warnings in God's word are normally expressed using words like, take heed. In fact, 55 times in the Bible, God says, take heed. Another word that He uses for warnings is to beware. God says 28 times in the scriptures, beware, beware. So the Bible is giving God's people many warnings about the dangers that we need to constantly be reminded about. So what are some spiritual dangers that God warns His people about? Maybe you've heard some of these. You reap what you sow, more than you sow, and later than you sow. That's a warning. God also warns that sin produces sorrow. God's word warns us that immorality brings heartache. God warns in his word that moral depravity causes despair. God warns that disregard for his mercy and forgiveness in Jesus results in judgment. It's littered with warnings all throughout the scriptures. But in Psalm chapter 19, David, who had disregarded his share of God's warnings, however, he was known as a man after God's own heart, is the king of God's chosen people, Israel. Now, for those of you that don't know, Israel is really the only democracy that's over there right now. Okay? So not only do we support them from them being our forefathers, if you will, but we ought to support them in every other way, in my view, as well. But in Psalm 19, David is telling God's chosen people how to know the benefits of heeding God's warning. In Psalm 19, follow along with me, if you will, in verse 7. And David says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by the word of God, your servant is," say it with me, "warned. Your servant is warned, and in keeping them," in keeping the word of God, "there is great reward." This morning, I want to share with you some specific spiritual warnings that we find in the word of God. And I pray that they will bless you and do what God intends for these warnings to do in your life, not to bring you harm or fear, but to bring you into a closer relationship with him. The first spiritual warning is to beware of falling. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, "You therefore, beloved," talking about Christians here, "you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked." But listen to this. "But grow." But grow. Say that with me. But grow. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." You see, the natural order, friend, for all of creation is growth. Growth. Think about it. Seeds become plants. Infants become adults. Calves become cows or steers. Acorns become oaks. Minnows become fish. So if something doesn't grow, something abnormal is happening. Because that is not the way that it was designed to be. Growth is also the expected progression in the spiritual realm. For instance, when somebody comes to Christ and they are a babe in Christ, if you will, they are expected to grow into mature followers of Christ. And friend, can I just tell you that it is heartbreaking when a believer comes to Christ and they begin to grow just a little bit, but then they quit. They quit growing. They quit serving the Lord. And worse yet, they begin to fall away and go back to the old life. What a pity that is. And that's exactly why Jesus says, first, count the cost. Before you come to me, before you desire to be a follower of me, before you want to be a disciple of Christ, count the cost. Because it ain't easy. Count the cost. Jesus said, no one having put his hand in the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Some hard words right there. He says, count the cost. However, we know that both falling and failing in the spiritual life is something that happens to the best of us. Amen? So, can't knock yourself too hard, but man, you got to get back up on the horse. Amen? Consider this man. His name was Demas. Raise your hand if you've heard of the man named Demas. Amen. Don't worry. Don't feel shot at. In the one chapter book of Philemon, in verse 24, 23, Paul wrote this. He said, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. So Demas was working alongside the Apostle Paul with Mark, Luke, Aristarchus, and the rest. And they were in prison together. But just a very short time after that, Paul has written to his friend Timothy as a pastor of that church. And he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:10, he writes, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and departed for Thessalonica." One minute, a fellow laborer. The next minute, he's loving the world and departed the faith. Friend, if you are a Christ follower, beware of falling away. If you are a Christ follower, beware of complacency. Beware of taking God for granted. Beware of spiritual decay. Beware of lukewarmness. Beware of backsliding into sin. And by all means, beware of falling away from your blessed fellowship with the Lord. You got to keep your antenna up and pay attention and beware. But not only beware of falling, God also encourages us to beware of forgetting. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is addressing the people of God, Israel, and he starts off by saying, beware. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command to you today. Why? He says so. Lest, when you have eaten the fruit and are full, when you built beautiful houses and dwell in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold and your 401k are multiplied. Somebody say amen. Amen. And all that you have is multiplied when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt from that house of bondage, who led you through the terrible witness in verse 15, who fed you in the wilderness with manna in verse 16. And then it shall be in verse 19 that if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Let us never forget God. Moses often warned the children of Israel about forgetting God. And that's why in the Old Testament, they built memorials. They built memorials to everything, the good things and the bad things. Whenever some God intervened, whenever God moved, whether it be in judgment or in victory, they built a memorial. Why? So that they would never ever forget what God had done. Friends, don't you ever forget where you came from. When you're looking with that vindictive eye on that drug addict, on that homeless man, when you're looking at that lost sinner, don't you ever look with a vindictive way. You remember where you came from because you were once there yourself. right? Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget the countless blessings and the great things that have only come from the Lord your God. Amen. Never forget. And then after you make that resolution that you're never going to forget, then make it your habit, your daily habit, to give God the glory and the praise for all that he has blessed you with. Do like David did in Psalm 103 when he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." God has benefited you a lot. Never, ever forget the Lord your God. But then God's word also encourages us to beware of a failing heart. In Deuteronomy, Moses said, "Beware lest there be a wicked thought," listen to this, "in your heart." Solomon wrote in Proverbs 23, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." You see, the heart, friend, is the headquarters of our thoughts. The heart is where temptation is conceived. The heart is where temptation is born. James wrote it this way. He said, "When the desire in your heart has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, becomes death." Your heart is a pretty big deal. And James is telling us that whatever you premeditate in your heart will eventually manifest in what you do. Guard your heart. Beware of a failing heart. But God's word encourages us also to beware of false prophets. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 15, Jesus himself said, "Beware," say beware. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are as ravenous wolves." That's right. Sadly, these people are everywhere. They are everywhere, and Jesus teaches that they ain't coming with a name tag that says, "Hello, I'm a false prophet." No, you need to know whether they're a false prophet or not. John said it this way in 1 John 4:1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit," but listen to me, "but test the spirits." Test them whether they are of God or not, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Friends, counterfeits come disguised like real servants of God. Beware. They talk like real servants of God. They pray, they sing, they attend church, they read the Bible, they may even preach like a real servant of God. You need to test the spirits and make sure they are of God. You need to make sure that you're in your Bible enough so that you know when a preacher is not preaching the word of God. That's up to you, amen? And realizing that, hey man, they're not real. They may not be real. And so it's your job to do that. We need to heed Paul's warning in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. He said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Heed, beware, friend, of false prophets. But also, Jesus encourages us to beware of false teaching. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse 5, the Bible says that when Jesus' disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Now, what happened here is he had just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread. Okay? So he wanted to make sure, the disciples said, "Well, let's make sure we take bread." Well, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And then the disciples got together and said, "Oh no, he's getting on to us because we forgot the food." Oh no, they reasoned saying, "It's because we have taken no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread, because you forgot the food? Do you not yet understand or remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Have you forgotten the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you don't understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread?" I'm not talking about food, y'all. He said, "I'm talking to you about being aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Now the question dies to be asking is, what was the false teaching of those Pharisees and Sadducees? Well, in a couple of words, the first one was legalism. You do what I say when I say to do it, and every time these doors are open, you make sure you're in here. You do what I say, legalism. But they also taught that Jesus wasn't the Christ. But they also said, "Hey, we're going to say it, but we ain't going to do it." What is that? That's hypocrisy. So those are the things that these false prophets, these Pharisees and Sadducees were teaching. Friend, we got to be careful not to do what seems to be doing the right thing, seems to be at the right time, but we're doing it for the wrong reasons. The Lord said through Mark, he said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes," so listen to this, "they desire to go around in long robes." Oh, they love greetings in the marketplaces. Oh, they love the best seats in the synagogue, the best places at the feasts. They devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. Now, if you've ever wondered if there's going to be varying levels of hell, Jesus kind of touched on that right there, didn't he? He said there will be greater condemnation for these teachers that were teaching the wrong thing. So what does that mean? What are some modern day examples of what I'm talking about? You know, doing the right thing at the right time, but doing it for the wrong reasons. How about this? Serving and giving to the church. That's a great thing, amen? Amen? Serving and giving to the church. But if you're doing it to be popular and look good, now you're doing it for the wrong reason. Let me give you another one. Fasting. Man, to get close to the Lord, there ain't no better way. But if you're doing it to appear spiritual and to appear holy, wrong reason. Give you another one. Praying long prayers. There ain't nothing wrong with a long prayer unless you're doing it with flowery words to impress people. Wrong reason. How about studying the Bible? Man, is there anything better for the Christian to study the Bible? But what if you're doing it just so you can boast of your superior knowledge? Wrong reason. Amen. How about preaching? Preaching's a good thing, right? But what if I'm doing it for money or material gain? Wrong reason. Helping the poor and the needy. What a great thing to do, right? But what if you're doing it only so you can use them later? Wrong reason. What about doing good deeds? Ain't nothing wrong with doing good deeds, right? Unless you got the wrong motives in your heart. Wrong reason. All those, friend, can be Satan's snares. They can be traps by the enemy that false teachers will lead you into unless you beware. Give you another one, number six. Beware of covetousness. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus said to the disciples, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Covetousness. See, often poverty, or maybe the way you grew up, or perhaps just a selfish desire can provoke people to become lovers of money. To provoke people to become lovers of material things instead of lovers of God. Be careful and beware. Because covetousness, basically a materialistic view of life, is dangerous. If you're making money or material things your God, he's a poor God. Amen. It's dangerous, and it can even be damning to the point where Paul even equated covetousness with idolatry. And God doesn't take partial to idolatry. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul wrote to those believers, those Christians, saying, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So if you're viewing your life through a material lens, a materialistic lens, you're an idolater, and you need to reevaluate, because you need to beware of materialism. And finally this morning, we must beware of human tradition. Beware of human tradition. Again, in the book of Colossians, in chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Beware. This warning, friend, is for those who deify the commandments of men, who make the commandments of men like the commandments of God when they're not. And Jesus talked about these people. In Matthew chapter 15, here's what he said about those people. Listen carefully. Hypocrites! That's what he called them. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and in vain they worship me. Listen carefully. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Beware of human tradition, because this also warns us of what some people call science. How many of you know that science is changing constantly? Science is constantly in flux, right? Theory after theory after theory, it's constantly in flux. It's constantly being proven one minute and then disproven another. Right? For example, the theory of evolution. How many times have you seen where there's some creature who could not have evolved? Or the question is asked, what happened to the in-between creature? In between the areas of evolution? Well, they don't exist. And I believe that Paul was talking about that to his friend Timothy when he said, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Because by professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Beware, friend, of human tradition. Christ and both his apostles, all of his apostles, warned us that no matter how appealing certain long-held beliefs may be, if they are contrary to scriptural truth, you as a believer in Jesus must avoid them and reject them. Period. Amen. Beware of human traditions. And friends, when we ignore God's warnings, when we continue to live in sin, can I just tell you, you're just doing it to yourself. You're missing out on the greatest blessings that God has in your life. Listen, friend, God doesn't want you and he doesn't want me missing out on the abundant life that he plans to give us. Therefore, we must heed the warnings. Heed the warnings. Why? Because those things that are revealed to us expose danger. They expose snares in the world, and the most serious of those snares affects your soul. The most serious of those traps affects the eternal destiny of your soul. Be careful and beware. In Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, he wanted every single person to know, to be able to stand before God, knowing that they had heeded the warning that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And here's what he said in chapter 1 and verse 27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles. Listen to this. Which is, here's the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he goes on to say, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He wanted everybody to be saved. Do you? Do you want everybody to be saved? I pray you do. Because that's why Paul told believers, the believers in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he said, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day and night through tears. Oh, he wanted everybody to be saved. Jesus declared, unless you repent, unless you change your mind, unless you change your direction, you will all likewise perish. That's some bad news right there. Somebody say amen. Amen. But the good news is this. God can forgive every single one of your sins and he can save your soul if you will heed his warning designed for your benefit in your life. I mean, check this out, y'all. If the good news we share doesn't contain any warnings, if my preaching doesn't contain any warnings, then I'm not sharing the whole picture. I need to be sharing the whole picture, because if people fail to heed the warnings of God, they are putting their souls at risk. So let us be willing to share these loving, God-sent warnings so that people's souls are not at risk. In his book entitled Storm Warnings, Billy Graham wrote this. He said, compassionate hands reach down from heaven to offer us a most hopeful warning. Listen very carefully. If you're listening, say amen. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. Are you prepared to meet your God today? We know not when he's going to return. Are you prepared to meet him today? In other words, you've been forewarned. Are you heeding the warnings? I pray that you are. I pray that I am, for that matter. Because I want to be like what David said in Psalm 19, verse 11. Moreover, by the words of God, your servant is warned. And in keeping the words of God, there is great reward. I pray, if you don't know the reward of eternal life in heaven with Almighty God, that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ, that you will walk out of here having come forward, having placed your faith in Jesus Christ, having heeded the warnings and received the reward. Do you have that reward today? I pray you do. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you that you just didn't leave us in our sin. Lord, you didn't have to save us. But you love us so much that even though we were still sinners, you sent Christ Jesus to die on that old rugged cross for us. Lord, our prayer today is that every person within the earshot of my voice is heeding the warnings you provide. They're not do's and don'ts. They're not cans and can'ts. No, they're designed to provide us with the absolute best life we can have, both here and there with you. Father, if there's anyone here that wants to be guaranteed of their place in heaven, guaranteed of their eternal life with you, Lord, let them come forward today during this decision song, giving their life to Christ, placing their faith and their trust and their belief in Him and Him alone, and thereby receiving the incredible reward you offer when we heed your warnings. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Stand together. You come and sing, okay?